I heard Marvin Hicks say one time he was traveling and he had a religious program on the radio. And they were singing, "Did you not hear Peter say to all nations on that day, this is that, what Joel said?" And he said he lost the frequency as he went over hills and around curves. And that faded out. And another station come breaking in. And this fellow was saying, "You've got to be baptized. And there's nothing to the Holy Spirit baptism, as people claim." He said, then they go around a curve and that station fade out and the other come back in, they're singing again. "Did you not hear Peter say, oh, I'm glad that God is still real. Wave your hands unto the Lord." Amen. We bring you, Brother Gavin. Well, glory.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, glory.
Glory.
Are you really happy tonight?
Amen.
I'd rather be here tonight than in the best hospital in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
Are you really happy? Lift your hands and praise the Lord right now. Amen. Now, you see that watch? That don't mean a thing. Because I want to preach tonight. I want to preach tonight with the help of the Lord. Well, first of all, I'd like to commend you for your singing. The reason I like your singing, I can understand what you're saying. I got a hold of a gospel album, supposed to have been a gospel album, and I listened to it all the way through, and I hardly understood anything they said. So when they record a tape or an album, they set a release date for that to be released. And when I listened to that album, I said, "Nobody released that. I think it escaped." I like good singing. What's wrong with "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound"? What's wrong with "When We All Get to Heaven"? What's wrong with singing like that? What's wrong with lifting your hands and praising our God tonight? What's wrong with that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Glory. Thank God, thank God. Such a wonderful church and such a wonderful pastor. Now, if you don't get money enough to get me back home, I'm going to move in with the pastor and his wife. Because they don't have anybody, and if I can't get back home, I'm just going to move in with them. Well, hallelujah. Now, by the help of the Lord, I want to invite your attention to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning at verse number 46. And I want to preach tonight from the deep of my heart. I'm not going to preach straight from the shoulder. I want to preach straight from the heart.
All right.
Luke 6:46. Now these are the words of Jesus. "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now I want to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "And he said, Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that you may drink, both ye and your cattle, and your beast." I want to choose tonight for a subject, the results of obedience. The results of obedience. Now, the scripture said that obedience is better than sacrifice. And I want to get into the word of the Lord tonight and see if it really benefits the individual, the world, or the church to be obedient to God. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. Jesus asked this important question. He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The salvation of the New Testament is a salvation of doing the will of God. Jesus, on two different occasions, he said something about hearing. It's very important to hear. But Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear." Secondly, he said, "Take heed how you hear." So many strange voices in the world right now. You can tune in on your radio and you can hear different voices preaching different things. But all voices you hear is not the voice of God. Anything that we say that God told us or revealed to us must conform to the written will of God, and that's recorded in the Bible. I cannot do as I think. I cannot do as I please. I must do what the Lord commanded me to do.
Amen.
Now, Jesus illustrated. He preached by parables. He said, "He that heareth my sayings and doeth them is like a man that went out to build a house. He digged deep until he found a rock. And upon the rock, he built a house. After a while, the flood came. The wind came. The storm came. It blew against that house. There was a pressure against that house. But it did not fall. The secret is, was founded upon a rock."
Right.
To be founded on a rock means to hear and do and obey what God has commanded us to obey.
Yes.
We are building for eternity.
Right.
And when I think about the things that are sure, the things that are steadfast, the writer to the Hebrews wrote like this, and every time I quote it, every time I read it, it creates a shout in my soul.
Yes.
He said, "Everything that can be shaken
will be
shaken. Everything that can be moved will be moved." But with a stroke of the pen, he puts a shout in my soul. But he said, "Beloved, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. A kingdom that cannot be moved." There's a lot of strange things happening. Strange voices. Strange preaching. Strange, they say, gospel preaching. But everything we preach or say relative to God, we must find it in the book.
Amen.
Thank God for the book tonight. I said, thank God for the book tonight. Then the scripture said, another man went out. Now, he was likened to the man that heard, but he did not do. He did not obey. All he did was hear. He was like a man that went out to build a house. He didn't take time to lay a foundation. He didn't take time to dig deep until he found the rock. He simply built upon the earth.
Oh. Amen.
That tells me that false religions can build. But they have no foundation. I said they have no foundation. In order for your house to stand, you must dig deep until you find the rock. And I believe we found the rock. The rock of ages. I said the rock. We found the rock. You know, we need some preaching about God. I'm not preaching a theory. I'm not preaching a myth. I'm preaching about an unchangeable and immovable God. When everything else is gone, He'll still be God. God can't be worse because He's holy. He can't be better because He's perfect. So there is the eternal, immovable, unchangeable God. When everything else is gone, God will still be there. Time will never destroy God because time never created God. You've got to realize that there are some things that are permanent and some things that are not. Money can buy a lot of things, but money is cheap. Money used to talk. Then it got so cheap until it started whispering. But now it don't even whisper. It just brushes past you on its way to Washington. So if you've got your trust in this world, it's going to come to naught. But when you put your trust in the Rock of Ages, I said the Rock of Ages, it'll stand the test of time and eternity. Nobody will ever be able to destroy what I'm talking about tonight because there is a foundation that is true and sure, and it shall never be moved. I may be talking out of school, and if I am, the pastor can straighten me out tonight. If you cannot shout over the preaching of the Word of God, don't you ever shout over a song. Why do I say that? When you come to die, you might not have nobody with an organ or a piano to play you a tune, no singers to sing you a song. But if you have hid the Word of God in your heart, you can be like the psalmist. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, I thank God tonight for the Word. I thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. So the Word must be preached. Now, James 4:17, this verse might ruffle a few feathers. But I have ruffled so many feathers in my time, one more ruffle won't hurt anything. One morning I preached a sermon and I was at the front door and a lady came by me. Now I'm going to tell you, she was a hot under the collar. She said, "You preach to me." I said, "Who else you think I was preaching to?" I wasn't preaching to folks in Alabama or Alaska, I was preaching to you. She said, "I want to know why you part your hair in the middle." I said, "To stay in balance."
All right.
Listen, I'm in balance tonight. Hallelujah. That's right, in balance. Oh, brother, let me tell you tonight, the salvation of God, when you dig down deep and strike the rock, the things around you will never separate you from the love of God, because there's something that is sure, steadfast, and it cannot be moved. Hallelujah. It's here to stay. You know, the devil would like to destroy the church, but he'll never do it. You know, the devil torments a lot of people by bringing up their past. Let me give you some good advice tonight. When the devil brings up your past, you remind him of his future.
Yeah.
Because we know where he's going. I said, we know where he's going. Now, James 4:17. Now, you notice this carefully. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. The results of obedience. Yes. If you know what's right and don't do what's right, you committed a sin. Yes. You've broken a law. Now someone said, I don't rob a bank, and I don't shoot and break in and steal. In my part of the country, I've never heard about so many break-ins, stealing. A man lived in a house trailer. He went to work that morning, came back home that evening. Somebody had hooked to his house trailer, stole his house and everything in it. And the last gun I had, they had never found it. Now that's what I call stealing everything, house and all. Robbing all of these little drive-in grocery stores, and they charged them with aggravated robbery. Anytime anybody would rob me, it sure would be aggravated. But let me tell you, a lot of things are going on out there tonight. The church is the only safe and secure thing in this world right now. The church is the only safe place to be. He that knoweth to do good. Now, you don't have to rob and steal and lie to commit a sin when you omit.
All right.
A holy quietness now is going to come over the congregation.
Yeah, I feel it.
He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
But if we omit to do what we know is right,
yeah,
just omit it. Put it on the shelf. I'm preaching to you tonight.
You sure are.
The results of obedience.
Hallelujah.
The reason people don't get from God what they should, there's a question mark. When God makes a statement and puts a period, don't you come along and put a question mark. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Believe it anyhow if it's in the Bible. I said believe it anyhow if it's in the Bible. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Just simply the sin of omission. The sin of commission and the sin of omission. Let me tell you, if you want to get what God has promised you, and what you can have from the throne of God, if you, without a question, will say, yes, God, I accept everything in the book. I believe it, whether I understand it or not. I want to tell you, the floodgates of heaven will be open, and the power of God will come down. It will move, and you'll have a revival in this church. Now, when you study the Bible, you notice the people that got the things from God that they needed is people that obeyed without a question.
Right.
I want to take you to the second chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus attended a wedding feast.
Amen.
Now, marriage is a great institution,
right,
and no family should be without it.
Right.
Jesus honored marriage by his presence. He went to the wedding feast. In my time, I have performed numbers and numbers of marriages. And some marriages that I have performed, the bride would have been better to keep the flower and throw the groom away. But listen, Jesus honored marriage.
Right.
The Bible said marriage is honorable in all.
Right.
And the marriage bed is undefiled.
Amen.
Now, notice Jesus honored marriage by attending the feast. His mother was there. They ran out of wine. His mother said, whatsoever they saith unto you to do, do it. They came to the master. They said, we are out of wine. said, fill the water pot with water. They were not interested in water. They wanted wine. But they didn't say, now we want wine, and why are you saying to fill up the water pots with water? They didn't say, how are you going to solve this problem? They just simply got out and filled up the water pots with water. And that water was turned into wine that was better than the wine they had in the beginning. Did you know Jesus, when you study the Bible, he not only taught in miracles, but he taught in parables. He taught in miracles and parables. Now, here was a miracle, turning water into wine. Now, he did that for more reasons than simply satisfying the taste of people at a wedding feast. He performed that miracle to teach the doctrine of transformation. If he is able to transform water into wine, he is able to transform a sinner into a baptized saint of God and put his name in the book of life. Hallelujah! The doctrine of transformation. It's the doctrine of change. A changed heart. A changed life. Change in attitude. A change in lifestyle. This is a true story. A man was invited. He was working with a group of men, and one of these men was a Pentecostal. And he was invited to attend a Pentecostal church. But prior to his invitation to come to church, he was a drunkard. And every Friday, when he got his paycheck, he stopped at the tavern on his way home. And he'd get home then sometime Saturday morning. Spent all of his money. They hardly had any furniture, any clothes, or any food. But when this man invited him to church, that drunkard received the Holy Ghost.
Oh, glory. Glory.
And the next Friday, he got his paycheck. He walked right by that same tavern, but he never stopped.
Oh, glory.
He went home.
Amen.
I said, he went home.
And
the next morning, they went to town. They bought some furniture, some clothes, and food. If you work on a public job, there's always a smart aleck in the crowd somewhere. And when they found this man had gone to church, fellow walked up, well, he said, I heard you join the church. Well, he said, I received the Holy Ghost. Well, the fellow said, now, you're in the church, and I want you to explain something to me. Explain to me how Jesus turned water to wine. Oh, he said, I can't do that. He said, I heard my preacher preach on it, but said, I can't tell you how Jesus Christ turned water into wine. But he said, in my life, I can tell you how Jesus Christ turned beer into furniture.
Amen.
You know what we call a miracle, and we miss it a million miles. Somebody come in crippled or with cancer, come in a wheelchair, and they walk out healed. We say, that's a miracle. Everybody in this room that has the Holy Ghost, you are a living, walking, talking miracle of the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. I said, it's a miracle. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting, praise God, because of that miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. As long as I can satisfy the pastor, I'm doing all right.
Amen.
He said, I'm doing good, so I'm doing good. I'm going to talk out of school again. I may never come back, so so I'm going to load your wagon while I'm here. Somebody could come to this altar tonight that's an alcoholic or addicted to drugs. And tomorrow night, we could have them up testifying how God delivered them. I find no fault in that. But we've overlooked something. What about the young people in our churches that's never been in drugs? That's never been an alcoholic. They've never felt the sting of a needle. They've never rolled in a back alley somewhere, drunk on cheap wine, wallowing in their own vomit. To me, it's just as great to hear somebody testify and say, I have been kept from it, and somebody to say, I've been saved from it. It's a miracle. The transforming power of God can make a man or a woman a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. Glory. The results of obedience. Whatever he says unto you to do, do it. Here's a man in the Bible. He was a great man, but he was a leper. Now, he came to the prophet with a chariot loaded down with riches. You can't buy this with money.
Amen.
You can buy a lot of things with money, but money will not purchase what I'm preaching tonight. I said money won't purchase what I'm preaching tonight. Go up to the prophet's house. Naaman was there. The prophet didn't even come out to visit with him. Said, go tell him to wash 7 times in Jordan River. Be healed. Oh, when the servant told him that. Somebody said he lost his temper. Oh, no, he didn't. He found it. The Bible said he flew into a rage. He said, I've got clean waters back home to take a bath in. It wasn't the question of taking a bath. It was a question of doing what the prophet commanded him to do. Man, he left in a huff. And the servant said, if he would have told you something great to have done, you would have done that. Why, he said, the prophet never even came out and waved his hand over me. He belonged to the upper crust. Did I ever tell you who the upper crust is? That's a bunch of crumbs that's held together by their own dough.
Amen.
That, my friend, is the up and outers. And a lot of people will look down on the down and outers. The up and outers see what I'm preaching just the same as the down and outers. This is for everybody. I said, this is for everybody. The rich, the poor, the bond, the free.
Amen.
But when he calmed down and the servant said, if he'd have done, told you something great to have done, you would have done that. Well, God, if I could preach to you tonight that there is a life that a person can live, that the blessings of God will cover that life.
Hallelujah.
With everything you go through, every sickness, even death, you can still feel the presence of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, the only life that's going to get it done, my friend, is a life of obedience to God. Now, let me go to the text I read in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 3. There were 3 kingdoms, Israel, Judah, and Edom. They were on their way to the land of Moab, and they intended to have battle. But out there somewhere in the wilderness, they realized that they had no water. And you know, it's strange, when people get in trouble, they turn toward the prophet.
Amen.
Now, they were in trouble. 3 kings, armies, the beast, and the cattle, in the wilderness. no water. They turn to the prophet. A lot of people never walk through this door, and some never will. But when they get in trouble, they know who to call to pray for them. They may never come to church. That's strange. Listen, let me tell you tonight. It's far better to come to God when everything's well in your family.
Yeah.
When there's no sickness,
yeah,
no death, when everything is all right. To come to God when you're in good health. Now, I know He'll save anybody with a broken health, broken home, or whatever. But it pays big dividends when you hear the gospel. Just step out on the Calvary flow and receive what God said you could receive.
Amen.
No affliction, no trouble, no problem. Just a heart that wants to obey God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And come walking down to the foot of Calvary and feel the load lifted from your soul. Listen, there is no greater word in our language than the word I forgive. Thank God He's able to forgive. I said He's able to forgive. But when they were in their problem, they turned to the prophet. Now the prophet told them to do a very unusual thing. He said, get in the valley and dig it full of ditches. They didn't say, we are not looking for ditches. We want water to drink. They didn't question. They started digging.
Amen.
Now that's what the prophet said. You're not going to see any wind. You're not going to see any rain. But the valley is going to be full of water. Now, they didn't say, how is this going to happen? If we're not going to see any wind, if we're not going to see any rain, how are you going to fill these ditches with water?
Right.
That was never raised as a question.
That's right.
Their obligation was to dig the ditches.
Amen.
And it's your obligation to dig the ditches.
Amen.
If you want to get blessed, you don't get blessed accidentally. You've got to prepare for the blessing. I said you had to prepare for the blessing. Just like the Bible said, prepare to meet thy God. You've got to make a preparation to meet God. And one day, we all going to meet God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The valley had to be broken. If I could preach to you like I feel right now, did you know that? It's almost out of style to cry at a funeral. And it's becoming like that in the church.
Amen. You're right.
Everything is instant. Instant coffee. Instant tea. Gas stations are racetrack, fast lane, raceway. I was in a big grocery store a few days ago, and it had express lane. Get it and get out. I saw a little drive-in store. It was named Get and Go. Get it and go. Everybody's in a hurry. They're not going anywhere, but they're in a hurry. Everything's instant. Instant tea, instant coffee, instant prayer, instant church.
Yeah.
I am not in the habit of coffee. I don't care all that much about coffee. But I drink a cup sometimes to be sociable. And I went to a house one day, and the lady offered me a cup of coffee. When she brought it, I looked at it. I could see the bottom of the cup.
Yeah.
I said, is this coffee? She said, yes. I said, it don't look like it. She said, what do you call it? I said, to me it looks like innocent water that's been scalded to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I drink coffee, I don't want to see the bottom of the cup.
That's right.
And neither do I want cream or sugar. I want the real stuff.
Uh-huh.
But people are willing to settle for that which is quick and easy. Quick and easy. That'll never get the job done. Instant. Instant prayer meetings. Instant church. I want the real. I don't want the counterfeit. Because I've got to meet God one day. I started out preaching this. I have not changed. I won't change. I came in shouting. I'm going out shouting. Hallelujah. I came in believing in Jesus' name. I'm going out believing in Jesus' name. I came in believing in one God. And I'm going out preaching there's one God. Somebody told me one time, said, if you don't quit preaching what you're preaching, you'll soon be preaching that Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. Huh. I said, I'm already preaching that. Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. My Lord's not dead tonight. He's alive forevermore. And he has the keys of hell and death. Broken. If you want to get broken up before the Lord, listen, the psalmist said, God is nigh to those with a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you.
Amen.
You do not go out and sow seed on broken earth and expect a harvest.
Amen.
The ground must be broken and cared for. The seed will be sown and you'll reap a harvest.
Hallelujah.
You hear me tonight? It's time to come before God.
Amen.
With a humble heart.
Humble.
And a broken heart.
Broken.
And a contrite spirit. To be broken up in the presence of God. He can do things with people if they will become broken.
Amen.
I said he can do things with people if they will become broken.
Hallelujah.
And the scripture said at the time of the meat offering, the water came by Edom and the valley was filled with water. May I make a statement here? It all depended on how much water they received as to how big or deep they dug the ditch. He gets a lot of water.
Oh.
Hallelujah. People there have left their altars, gone through the door. They said they got the Holy Ghost. You never see them again. There's something wrong somewhere, my friend. I said there's something wrong somewhere. Let me tell you, when you really dig down deep, and you get full of what I'm preaching about across this pulpit tonight, you're not going to forget it the next day. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. But let's put our gods to a test. You build your altar. Put the sacrifice on. But don't put no fire anywhere. You just pray. And they did that. They prayed. And they prayed. They got so in earnest until they jumped up on the altar and took their lances and cut their own bodies.
Right.
Their blood gushed out. You see, sincerity a lot of times won't save you. They were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong.
Uh-huh.
They prayed, but it never happened.
Amen.
Elijah said, now let me repair the altar. That's been broken down. We must never destroy our place of prayer.
Amen. Amen.
We can't take the altars out of the church. We can't take the altars out of our homes. We can't take the altars out of our lives.
Amen.
That's the place to come.
Hallelujah.
To meet God.
Amen.
He made his sacrifice, put it on the altar. Bring the 4 barrels of water. Bring the four more. 12 barrels of water. He baptized the sacrifice before he prayed for the fire.
Woo. Amen.
Glory.
I got it.
Thank you. Well, that's right. Now he said, don't put no fire under it. The water filled the trenches. He prayed. Wasn't no long prayer. He prayed. The Bible said the fire came down. Consumed the sacrifice. The altar, and lit up the water in the trenches. And the people fell on their faces and said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.
The Lord.
You know when the fire fell? At the time of the evening sacrifice. Now you wait, I'm going to tie something up here in a minute. I'm well on my way. And I feel good about it all. Hallelujah. I'm well on my way. When the water came by Edom to fill the valley, fill all the ditches with water, was the time of the meat offering. When the fire fell with Elijah, it was the time of the evening sacrifice. Things happen at the time of sacrifice. Are you still with me? Things happen at the time of sacrifice. Brother Pastor, I want you to help me preach now. Get your Bible and come up here. That's right. Get right up here. I want 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. This is such a good pastor. He drives me around and he hadn't had a wreck yet. He's doing good. He's a good preacher. And we are having good fellowship.
Glory.
Going over some old things. I like to think about some old things. Praise God. A lot of this new streamlined stuff, I don't like it.
Right.
I want the old-fashioned religion.
Old-fashioned.
I want the old-time Holy Ghost. Yes. That's right. I want to fill my ditch full of this living water. Hallelujah.
Right.
So that I'll be able to stand.
Glory.
Come on, 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 5.
All right.
Chapter 2 and verse 5.
You also. Lively stone.
No, tombstone.
Lively stone.
Dead stone.
Lively
stone. That's what the Bible said.
Amen.
Lively stone. We are not tombstone.
Amen.
This is not a cemetery.
Right.
This is a house of God.
Right. Hallelujah.
You are a lively stone.
Are built up. A spiritual house.
A spiritual house.
A holy priesthood.
And a holy priesthood.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Acceptable
to God
by Jesus Christ.
Now, Hebrews 13:15. Now, this scripture tells me exactly who we are and what we are. We are lively stones, and we are built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
And in this spiritual house, we are able to offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Amen.
13:15. You wait a minute. The water came by Edom at the time of the meat offering. The fire fell at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now we're lively stones built into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Right.
If you want the fire to fall, if you want the Holy Ghost from heaven, which is a fountain of living water, it's got to come by the spirit of sacrifice.
Right. Hallelujah.
Glory. A lady told me one time, she said, it's not all in shouting. Oh, I said, I know that. And it's not all in sitting still either. She said, I'm grounded in self. I said, I believe it.
Yeah.
Hebrews 13:15.
By him.
Well, have it your way.
Amen.
By him, therefore.
Let us offer. The sacrifice. Of praise.
Wait a minute. The sacrifice of praise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Amen.
People, some have built their life entirely on a life of prayer. Uh-huh. There's more to this than prayer.
Right.
There's a power of praise.
That's right.
Amen.
When you're back in a corner and you cannot see your way out, if you just start praising God, if you just start praising God, just start praising God, just start praising God. That's all you have to do is just start praising God.
Amen.
And you'll see the devil's tail light around the corner. And as he goes around the next curve, he cannot stand for men and women to give thanks to God, but we want to praise him. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Glory.
Amen. The sacrifice of praise to God continually.
Come on, let's start it all over again.
By him, therefore,
Him, therefore, let us offer
the sacrifice of praise.
The sacrifice of praise
to God continually.
No,
to God
on Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas, we'll come to church and love Him.
No, that's not right.
It said continually.
Continually. Uh huh.
Wait a minute.
I want to read.
A lot of people who go to church on Easter, and the pastor had a big crowd on Easter. He said, I want to wish all of you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, because I won't see a half of you no more on Easter.
All right.
And then at Christmas they come to honor his birth.
Mm-hmm.
Then Thanksgiving Day rolls around, and the poor old turkeys don't know what they're dying for, but they die by the hundreds. And people will eat turkey and say a Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But this Bible said to offer praise and thanks unto God continually. Even when you ladies are washing dishes.
Uh-huh.
And any lady that can wash dishes and praise God, you got the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
By him, therefore,
let us offer the sacrifice
of
praise.
Let us offer the sacrifice of praise
to God continually.
To God continually.
That is.
That is.
The fruit of our lips.
The fruit of our lips.
Giving thanks in his name.
Giving thanks to his name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
I want one more scripture. John 7:37.
Amen.
Now, David talked about, I will take the cup of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
the cup of salvation.
Uh-huh.
That was the Old Testament.
Uh-huh.
The cup.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to show you what we got in the New Testament.
Glory.
Listen, I'm going to fill this valley full of water right now from John 7:37.
Amen.
We're going to see what this living water is. Hallelujah.
All right.
Listen, I'm a fire all over. Praise God. I'll tell you, listen, I feel something here tonight.
Feel it.
I feel something here tonight. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, Jesus, what did he say here?
In the last day.
In the last day.
That great day of the feast.
Now, I want you to know where he said this. It was at the last day, the great day of the feast.
Uh-huh.
This is what he said.
Jesus stood and cried.
Jesus stood and cried, saying,
if any man thirst.
If any man thirst.
Let him come unto me.
Let him come unto me.
And drink.
And drink. Now wait. The world is in the wilderness. Like these three armies in a wilderness. They turned to the prophet and said, we need water. We're all about to starve to death. Let me tell you, there's a fountain in this New Testament gospel where men can drink. And they can be abundantly satisfied.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you're thirsty, he said, come to me
and drink.
And drink.
Uh-huh.
And drink.
Uh-huh.
And drink.
And drink.
And drink. Come to me and drink.
Amen.
It's not a cup full. Listen, I want to show you something here tonight. We got more than a cup.
Uh-huh.
We got a river.
Glory.
Hallelujah. I said we had a river.
We have a river.
Hallelujah. Now, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
He that believeth on me, as the scripture.
Wait. As the scripture has said?
Uh-huh.
No, as grandma has said.
No.
Grandpa.
No.
The elder.
Amen. As the scripture has said.
The cardinal.
As the scripture.
The bishop.
Scripture.
Whatever he says unto you to do,
do it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All belief is not acceptable.
That's right.
All worship is not acceptable.
Right.
It's got to be according to the scripture.
Amen.
You say, that's there, preacher. I know it is.
Amen.
Somebody said, let's have a broad mind.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't mind having a broad mind, but when it gets so broad and wide until you can run a freight train through it and never touch either side, that's a little bit too wide.
Right.
You know, Jesus was so narrow unto me, said, no man can come to the Father except he comes by me.
Right.
I'm the door to the sheepfold.
Amen.
That's the only way to get in is by Jesus. Now, that's narrow preaching.
Uh-huh. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
Today, it is go to the church of your choice.
Yeah.
Fine if you go to the right one.
Uh-huh.
Some time ago, I was thinking, you know what? I can still think. I'm in a class by myself.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to preach like me, and I don't want to preach like nobody else.
Yeah, amen.
So I'm in the class all by myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm at the age where I can say anything I want to and get by with it.
Yeah.
And the reason is, when people believe what I say, they applaud me.
Uh-huh.
When others don't believe, they say, poor old senile man, he don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
But honey, I ain't senile tonight.
Uh-huh.
I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
The other day I was thinking, before the flood, God told Noah to build an ark.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot conceive that they had billboards all over the countryside
mm-hmm.
that said, get ready, the flood is coming, go to the ark of your choice.
My Lord. Amen.
There's only one ark. Only one ark.
Amen.
I wish I had time to preach on the church while I'm here.
Well, I'll take your time.
I'm a Jesus name preacher, one God preacher, a church preacher. I just love to preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's no burden for me to preach.
Bless God.
And I, listen, if you don't believe I'll preach it, you send for me.
Amen.
I love to preach.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
He that believeth on me as what?
As the Scripture.
As the Scripture has said.
That's it. Out of his belly shall flow rivers.
Shall flow rivers.
Of living water.
Of living water.
Yay.
Hallelujah. This is living water.
Right.
I said, this is living water.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And this river will heal anything it touches.
Uh-huh.
Now, come on, let's find out what that river is.
But thus he spake.
But this spake he.
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit.
Which they that believe on him.
Which they that believe on him.
Should receive.
Should receive.
For the Holy Ghost.
For the Holy Ghost.
Was not yet
was
given.
Was not yet given.
Because
that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what is that living water? The Holy Ghost.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's a river of living
hallelujah,
water.
Hallelujah.
Not a cup full, but a river of living water. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, a river of living water. Let's stand up and praise God right now for that river of living water. That river of living water.
Amen. Amen.
Lift your hands and praise Him right now.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Listen to me. Things happen. The time of sacrifice. The water came at the time of the meat offering. The fire fell at the time of the evening sacrifice.
Right.
If everybody in this room, whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, in one mind and with one accord,
right,
would start offering to God the sacrifice of praise.
Oh,
I want to tell you, the fire would fall in this tabernacle tonight.
Amen.
The living water would flow through here like a living healing stream. Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank
God. Amen. Come in and join me. Lift your hands to God and praise Him from your heart, everybody. Give Him the sacrifice of praise. Give Him the sacrifice of praise.
Hallelujah.
And give thanks to His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
Praise God.